You look at Matthew chapter 4, if you would. And I'm so thankful for our good missionary being here with us. And I enjoyed what he had to say, and I'm grateful for that. And we very well could have just had him preach on. But I want to preach to you for a little while from Matthew chapter 4, verse number 18, Jesus calling his first disciples here. And we see tonight what happens when people just surrender to the Lord's command. I make no bones about it. We're praying that God would call folks to the bus ministry. We have a wonderful opportunity to be missionaries right here in Kingsport, Johnson City, Gray, and we've got a wonderful avenue of the bus ministry. We're also praying for people that would surrender to missions to go around the world and be a missionary. But I would love to see us just yield our hearts to say, Lord, what would you have me do? One preacher put it like this. It's not so important that we pray, well, God, what's your will for my life? Instead, we just say, Lord, my life is for your will, whatever that is. And may we all live in that fashion. And so we're going to see some people here that did follow Christ. They were disciples of his. And Jesus, verse number 18 of Matthew 4, and Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. So we see what happens when people just surrender to the Lord, and many times we half-heartedly follow. I have to admit that I've seen it for folks do it this way, and I myself have done it as well. We say, yes, I do want to follow the Lord, but we seem to follow somewhere short of full-fledged or full-hearted service to him. I think about this. Sometimes we're following the Lord, but we're following from a distance. We say, Lord, this is close enough for me. Many of you remember Kmart? There's some around here, right? Kmart, you old-timers, you blue light specials, you get excited about when that thing would go off. I don't remember the blue light necessarily, but I remember going. And so we were supposed to follow Mom and stay close. That was a different day. Moms didn't watch as close as they do now because there weren't so many, maybe there weren't so many crazies. Maybe they were. Moms just didn't care as much about us. I don't know. Maybe it was more my mom that didn't care about me. Maybe she watched the other kids and just didn't watch me. I don't know. But I got interested in the toy aisle and different things that I was excited about. She was not excited about going over somewhere else. And I wandered too far and lost her. It happens. This world is not unlike Kmart, that it's got a lot of things that grab our attentions as well. I like little cars back then and Hot Wheels, Matchbox, and all the other little remote control cars back in those toy aisles. So tempting for a young man. And again, it was a different era than it is now, and probably parents didn't worry as much as they do currently. And so Mom was off shopping and said, was my job to keep an eye on her so I could stay close. And I got more enamored with what was around the aisles that I was in instead of close to her. And so we got far apart. Now, it all worked out. I found her. She found me. I don't remember that. But we got back together and it all worked out. But I thought about this, that's about the way we sometimes follow Christ. Lord, I want to follow you. I want to stay close to you. I want to be so close to you that I'll never even doubt my love for you or your love for me, no matter what comes. But there's something that catches our attention as well. Well, it's probably not the toy aisle at Kmart. I don't even know where the Kmarts were around here when there was such a thing. But it's not the toy aisle at Kmart. But it's other things in life. It's difficult. It's some different exciting things that are happening. Maybe it's a new marriage. Maybe it's something that you're engaged in. Maybe it's a semester of school that's really got you thinking about this. Maybe it's an opportunity you want to take advantage of. Whatever it is, if we're not careful, we'll allow our attention to be diverted from the main thing, and that's following the Lord Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ as we live our lives, and we start getting our attention diverted to other things. I think about this. If you're a married couple in here, your spouse would not be happy if you said, you know, I'm mostly faithful to her. She expects and she deserves complete faithfulness. And we understand that the Lord would want nothing less than that. I'm mostly faithful to the Lord. Most of the time, I'm a faithful follower of him. How much more could or should the Lord expect from us? The truth is that we've got something that we should be into lock, stock, and barrel, as the old saying goes. And that's what the disciples here, I think about just a few thoughts I want to give you. Look at verse number 19. There was no doubt who was in charge. Look at verse 19. And he saith unto them, hey guys, would you mind following me? I've got some important stuff to do. That's not how it says it. Hey, listen, if y'all ain't doing nothing, you can come over. I got some important stuff I would like for you to get involved with. Kyle's been trying to get folks to serve up in Ridge Kids and different departments and different, if you ever see Kyle come and run. That's what I do. I'm afraid he'll ask me to teach the four-year-olds. Kyle, I preach on Sunday mornings. I can't teach the four-year-olds. No, he needs you, so don't run. I'm just joking. But the Lord doesn't come up and say, hey guys, if you ain't busy, I'd like for you to come, and I'd like for you to go fishing for men after this if it's not too inconvenient for you. There's no doubt who was in charge, because the Lord just comes on the scene and says, follow me. Don't you love that authority? That authority had to be responded in obedience, as we learned about this morning, and it was. There was no doubt who was in charge. It's a strange phenomenon, I'm afraid, in modern-day Christianity, that we have the idea that as a buffet, you would get all of the options put out there from the Lord, and God says, now listen, you just take any or all you want. If you want to do it all, you won't do any, it doesn't matter. My friend, that's not the biblical Christianity. The Lord says we're bought with a price. We're supposed to realize that we are God's. Glorify God in your spirit and your God's body, which are His. We understand that we are supposed to be completely entrusting our lives to Him. We are not the ones that are supposed to decide the path on what God wants us to do. There's a path for every single one of us, and you would do yourself a wonderful favor if you would just say, Lord, I want to follow that path completely. 1 Corinthians 6, you are not your own. My brother in boot camp, my dad in boot camp, but my brother more recently, he made it a point to not hear his name called, because he said, I didn't mind not getting bragged on because there weren't too many bragging anyways, but I want to not get my name called, because that usually means you were doing something wrong. But all of those drill sergeants, none of them had any issue with deciding who was in charge. And neither did any of the recruits. There was no dilemma on who was the boss. And so we see that Jesus doesn't give reasons to follow to the disciple or future disciples. At this point, they're just mending their nets there. He doesn't give options for them to follow. He doesn't give the reasons they ought to come follow Him. He simply commands them and says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I think it's a wonderful thing to have that command of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way that we ought to be following Him. I think about in other relationships in our lives. My dad, he would tell us boys, we get in trouble. He said, boys, whichever one it was, go cut yourself a switch. Not to be used for pleasure. What kind of twisted people are you in West Virginia? That's what I wanted to know, but I was never brave enough to ask. You're always making this dilemma on your way. Do you get this one that's almost ready to break? That's a bad idea. You get this one that's a bigger one. You get this little one's got a lot of flexibility. Well, why would somebody even go get that to their own demise? Because somebody's in the obvious authority position. And so I'm not saying that the Lord was ready to discipline these disciples. What I am saying this, that there was no doubt who was in charge. You understand that the sea obeyed Him. The animals in the world, they marched right up to the ark back in the day. Death obeys Him. Leprosy obeyed Him. Blindness, all of these things. And so was it any wonder that the disciples should have just said, yes, sir. And that's where we bring you verse number 20. They followed quickly, the Bible says, and they straightway left their notes. Left their nets. I won't stay on this long. We covered it this morning. But I'm afraid, again, as we take the leading of the Lord as optional, well, I can take it or leave it. My friend, when you understand that the Lord has led you to do something, you ought to haste, make haste, and do what the Lord wants you to do. If you're looking for a car, you ponder and you look at this option and this car and that car, and you decide you want this one, that one, or none at all. You know, you have that right. It's just a car. But when the Lord burdens your heart, When the Lord moves upon the heart of somebody, as I mentioned, I make no bones about it. I'm praying that the Lord would increase the bus ministry staff so that we could reach more young people with the gospel. But when the Lord burdens a heart of person, there really is no option except to obey. One preacher put it like this, that delayed obedience is disobedience for us to say, well, I'm not going to do it right now. I see in verse number 20, not only did they obey quickly, but then they left their old life behind. Look on if you would. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. They at once, immediately, Simon and Andrew were comfortable. Let me just show you a couple things why they shouldn't have gone, could I? They were comfortable. This was a life they were used to. This was something that they had no problems with doing from here on. They were comfortable. But not only that, it was lucrative because in that day it would have been a good way to make a living, and these men definitely were doing that. But not only that, it was very practical. They lived by the sea. Why not go ahead and use this natural resource you've got there to be a fisher of fish and bring it in and make money for your family and living? And all of this could have prevented them from following the Lord. You say, why would you say that, Pastor? Well, I would say it this because of this. There's plenty of excuses that I could make as well. Why would somebody leave America and go to the foreign field? Why would we go? There's so much more I can do here, and there's so much in my life, and there's my family, and there's convenience, and there's all of these things. And you can give those reasonings all night long. But when you compare them to the command of God, what comparison is there? I've mentioned it before, and it doesn't all come down to money. But as a missionary comes through and God burns your heart because there's one thing between you and that $50 bill that's in your wallet that you could give to that missionary, and that's just disobedience. If the Lord moves upon your heart, now you may have 20 of them in there, and you're not supposed to give any tonight. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is when the Lord moves upon us, we ought to act quickly. And these men, they left their old life behind. They left their nets and they went and followed the Lord Jesus Christ. I think about it like this. There's a lot of food allergies. You know, we had this harvest party and Kyle and Bobby both got up and said, bring all the candy you can. We don't care about decaying teeth, but we certainly don't want to get any peanuts. I thought, well, okay. Somebody was here and they're a hygienist, and they said, wow, could we not have put some toothbrushes and some floss in there for those kids? I said, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me. No. I said, that'd been a good idea. Yes, it would. We didn't, but that'd been a good idea. But they say, don't bring peanuts, don't bring that because allergies, and some folks have gluten allergies and all of these things. Well, if you have a true enough allergy, not just a preference, not to just like to stay away from it, but you have an allergy, you don't just treat that as, well, I try not to. Now, if you've got an allergy from it, you do not. Amy and I were eating one time with somebody, it was a hibachi grill, and there was some shrimp on there, and somebody had an allergy to shellfish, and so before they got out of there, they're starting to, you know, close off. And the crazy thing was, well, I knew I had that allergy. I said, well, what'd you come for? But if you have that allergy, then you're not going to be around it. It's going to be a definite deciding factor. Well, I think about this. What if we treated the things that God forbids as fervently as somebody might treat a food allergy? God says, I ought not to look at those things. God says, I ought not to do those things. God says, I ought not to be involved in this. God gives us lots of commands, and this is not the message to teach you as a husband or you as a wife what you ought not to do and what you shouldn't do and what you should do. But there's plenty of things that if you're married, then you give up this and you give up that and you take on that. What if we treated the things that God forbids as just like we had an allergy and says, I cannot do that. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes there. Why should I therefore look on a maid? He made some definite decisions that what God forbids, I'm against. God says, I'm a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And so as sure as these disciples left that old life behind, they left their nets. It was so much easier to see in that day the illustration that God puts forth. They're mending their nets, and Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And they simply leave them. What a lesson for us. that when God calls you and God leads you and God brings you to do something, you simply report for duty and say, yes, sir, I'm your man, I'm your lady. So tonight we seem to think that partial or little or full obedience is perfectly fine. Somehow we act as if God's lucky that we even do anything for him. You say, oh, I'd never be so bold as to say that. I know we wouldn't say it, but sometimes our lack of fervency to move upon with what the Lord has led us to do, it would make it seem like we think that partial, full, or no obedience is okay. If an employer wants you neat, clean, sober, guess how you better come to work? Neat, clean, and sober, because that's what they expect. Very little merit if an employee says, well, I got 2 out of 3, 1 out of 3, none out of 3, but would you give me a little slack? Well, he won't give you much slack. These disciples, they left their old life behind and they straightway followed the Lord. And then in verse number 21, and going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, John, the sons of thunder. And verse number 22, they followed suit just like the first two. They immediately left the ship and their father. What a great picture of a missionary that leaves his family and leaves the familiarity of where he's at and followed him. Now this evening, I don't know what God would have each of us do, but I do know this, that someone with authority came on the scene where before those fishermen really didn't have much of that. Well, they had fathers and probably some authority, but then they'd never heard a man speak like this man, so much so that when he told them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, they simply obeyed. And I challenge each of us tonight, this good missionary that's here, he would certainly need some help. This area that we have in this region, we certainly need some help with our good bus captains. These Sunday school classes that I was joking with you about, Kyle, and children's churches, we certainly need some help. And as the Lord burdens us, may we simply do as the disciples did and straightway left their nets, followed him. Father, bless us now is our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be faithful to you because you've been so faithful to us. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't act as if we have the option for partial or full or no obedience. Instead, dear Lord, I pray that we might be those ones that leave our nets, follow you straightway, without delay, immediately. And Lord, would we be this week even very quick to move when you say move? I pray, dear Lord, that it be true in our lives. I pray that some fathers in this room, dear Lord, they already know what they're supposed to be doing as a father. You've already burdened them. You've convicted them how they're supposed to lead their home. But they've just been dragging their feet. Lord, help them to stand with fervency and determination to say, this is how we'll follow God. And one last thing, perhaps you're here and you're not sure that you're saved. My friend, please, don't leave this room. You're in the best room you could be in all the world, I believe. Don't leave this room without making sure Christ is your Savior, your sins are forgiven, and your heaven is your home. Bless us, I pray, dear Lord Jesus. We'll thank you for it. If you're able to, would you stand together as the ladies are playing? If God spoke to your heart, I invite you to come tonight. Oh, I'm so burdened about my obedience as the disciples were just so quick. Some might think it was flippant because they did it so fast, but it wasn't flippant. You see their lifestyle afterwards. How many times does God have to tell me something before I do it? If it's over one, shame on me. Would you come to the altar and pray? Give some things over to the Lord. Maybe you're here, you're not sure that you're saved. Brother Daniel's right down here in the front. Love to take a Bible and show you how you can be sure about that. Would you come? Don't leave. Don't go to bed again tonight and put your head on your pillow not sure that heaven's your home. As they play through another verse or two, thank you so much. You may look this way. Well, it's a joy to be in church. Look around. There's a wonderful crowd on this first dark Sunday night. Thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. And those of you who have children, thank you for having them in church. And I love to see young people at church, and sometimes people worry. I saw some had to leave. It looked like there was maybe there was getting out of hand. And praise the Lord for young people. And thank you for having them in church. Teach them to be here. And the ones that have teenagers, thank you for keeping them here as well. We need to every generation. We're thanking God for that. Kyle, who are we meeting with afterwards? Preschool teachers. If you meet upstairs in the Ridge Kids Department, Brother Kyle will meet up there with you. And ladies, if you haven't signed up for that Friendsgiving, Amy will be back in the lobby with me, and she can give you any information about that. Don't forget, if you're 55 plus and you can come on Tuesday, come and be with us in the Family Life Center. We'll have a great time together. It's a lot of fun, and I think that you'll definitely enjoy it. But we're looking forward to all that God has for us. And we'll pray one for another. I hope that before you leave, that you would talk to somebody that you don't know yet. You say, well, Pastor, who you want me to target? I don't care. Just somebody who you don't know yet. Introduce them to yourself. Don't embarrass yourself. Oh, are you new? I said, no, I've been here 38 years. I said, well, then just look at them and say, I'm sure you've been here 38 years, but this is the first time I remember meeting you. And greet them and meet a new friend tonight and get to fellowship a little bit. God bless you. You're dismissed.